Welcome to Settle Smart, a podcast where we talk about how an injured person can build a safe and secure financial future after a legal settlement. You'll hear stories from people who structured their settlement money tax-free, along with the professionals who create a custom solution that brings peace of mind. This podcast is brought to you by the National Structured Settlements Trade Association, a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating and advocating for injured people. Now we'll turn it over to our Settle Smart podcast host, Executive Director Eric Vaughn.
Welcome. I'm Eric Vaughn, and today I'm really pleased to be joined with two incredible professionals in the professional administration space or area, Nat Reifler with Medivest and Johnny Meyer with Ametros, two of our strong association associate members who contribute time and energy and resources to help make NASTA the strong organization it is today. I want to start out with something that I don't want this to become a fight, cat fight or otherwise. You two are really solid professionals working with two really solid companies. Is it competitive in the nature of the way you do your business when you come to a group of NSSCA members? And by that I mean, are you trying to explain, I'm better than you, you're not as good as me? How do you present yourself in a room full of professionals when you're trying to promote who you are, what your company does, and how valuable it can be for structured settlements and structured settlement annuitants?
Well, that's a great question, Eric, and I don't consider it to be any sort of conflict in terms of having us both present or having both companies present. If anything, I think, you know, we're just doing it's allowing us to kind of expand our reach regarding professional administration and really just do a better job of educating the industry in terms of how they can be utilizing our services to their advantage. I believe it's between 5% and 7% of MSAs are only professionally administered. So as you can see, we still have a lot of work to be doing to be getting across to as many of these structured settlement brokers as we can to be providing them with as much information regarding our services. So again, they can be working with these injured parties, they can be working with these attorneys, and just explaining the benefits of our services and how it really just goes hand in hand with structured settlements.
Well said, Johnny. So we feel that there are many benefits to professional administration that many attorneys and other settling parties may not be aware of. And in fact, in the workers' compensation arena, there has been some surveys that have been updated that actually indicate even a lower number of people end up taking advantage of the opportunities available in professional administration. Somewhere around only 2% in workers' compensation may be using a professional administrator. And with recent indications by CMS that not only that they highly recommend it to be used, but especially now whenever there are frequently abused drugs prescribed being used by the individual and listed in an MSA, it's almost an expectation on their part.
Let me just quickly tell you both that I'm shocked that the utilization rate is so low. And I'm shocked not because I'm a professional in the business, but that I do fully appreciate, I think, the incredible value and the importance of professional administration. Is it an educational challenge that you face with structured settlement consultants, attorneys, others? What's the reason for such low utilization rate of such a powerful tool?
Well, I think part of it will be the concept of control. So individuals, when they have a settlement presented to them, whether they're looking at the lump sum options or the structured payments over time, they like to feel that they are in control, and their attorneys often like to dictate those terms. And so sometimes we feel that it is an issue of education because sometimes they don't realize some of the benefits that may be afforded to them by having a professional administrator doing all the things that we both would do to evaluate whether or not the bills and claims presented are actually related to the injury, and also in terms of evaluating proper payment amounts and potential savings with respect to negotiating with providers.
Yeah, and I just to add on to that, you know, I think, again, what we're really doing is just trying to provide a resource that's available to all of the parties involved with the settlement. It's a resource that's going to provide savings across the board because both of our services, we're able to offer, you know, very competitive discounts on a lot of the future medical expenses, which is then going to ensure that the settlement funds will last as long as possible for these injured workers. So then they're not running into any sort of issues where then they deplete their funds, have to then submit through Medicare, and then have Medicare assume the primary responsibility of funding the account. But then the injured party is still on the hook for 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. So then they're faced with having to pay out-of-pocket expenses, something that they probably did not plan on doing once they settled their claim.
Johnny, that's excellent as a sort of a transition to my next question. I'm an attorney. I'm a structured settlement consultant. Give me five or six things, reasons, why I should consider retaining the services of a professional administration company. Give me a couple of things that would sway me to absolutely want to sign up with you guys.
Yeah, well, I would just say, you know, based on the fact that, you know, they have a healthcare advocate on advocating for them once they settle their claim, they might have been used to that adjuster support throughout the duration of their claim within the work comp system. But now they have a service that is going to be providing them, you know, anywhere between 21 and 28% savings on all their future medical expenses. So then they're not going to be left having to pay the full retail rates for a lot of that treatment if they're just administering everything on their own, because then that's when you are going to run into that issue of, you know, again, running down those funds. So then you're having to submit through Medicare as the primary payer. And then let's be honest, I'd say a big, you know, benefit of our services is the fact that we're handling a lot of that administrative burden that then they're being taxed with having to deal with. That's not something that, you know, anyone should have to deal with. You wouldn't have, I mean, let's be honest, who wants to, you know, do their own taxes? I know I don't. I usually will go to someone to help me out with that, an expert. So that's why you should just be having these claimants come to our companies, you know, directly, so then we can help alleviate a lot of the concerns that they have regarding settlement, regarding the fears of potentially running out of settlement money, and yeah.
I'll break it down into two main benefits. One, peace of mind, and that goes to both the settlement professional as well as the injured party, and the Medicare secondary payer statute, which is one of the reasons why this particular industry, professional administration, even exists. So helping to reduce exposure, because the MSP statute itself allows for remedies, including pursuit of any entity that receives any funds from the settlement proceeds. As to how CMS has acted in the past with respect to how it ultimately interprets and enforces that particular law, does not dictate how they may in the future. So what happens is, while many times at the time of settlement, it's important to always distinguish that time up to after the injury and up to the time of settlement, and then what happens after the date of settlement. Professional administration is typically focused on only things that are future or post-settlement, injury-related, and Medicare-covered. But both of our companies can also administer funds that are non-Medicare covered, mm-hmm. that occur after the settlement as well. And the reality is that the hassles associated with administration, keeping the proper records, mm-hmm. providing the attestations annually to CMS, just staying on top of that information, it's nice to be able to hand that off to an entity that does this day in, day out with experienced professionals that can help manage those hassles for them.
Everything I know about the two of you as professionals, but also about your companies, is that it's an exceptional service with incredibly valuable benefits. So I make the assumption that if you're working with an injured person, his or her family, they're really pleased with your service. But an ultimate authority might be CMS itself. How does CMS evaluate a professional administration, if at all? Do you have any indication of what they think of your services to Medicare beneficiaries?
Yeah, well, I would say, Eric, you know, just the fact that, you know, when they came up with that ruling, I believe it was in July of 2017, you know, again, back to with CMS highly recommending the use of professional administration, I think that's really them admitting that, you know what, these claimants are going to be much better off having somebody kind of support them throughout the settlement process as opposed to them just going to be tasked with having to do that on their own. So it's also just a way, too, that not only are we saving the claimants, you know, money over time, but we're also then saving Medicare, you know, a significant amount of money, too, because you're now not being faced with that issue of these claimants running out of their settlement funds at an earlier time if they had, say, an unexpected surgery come up that wasn't accounted for. So then that could just completely wipe out the remaining, you know, funds that they had available. So then they're left having to submit through Medicare and then, you know, take the Medicare dollars and put it towards their treatment. So that's why I do feel that, you know, again, them now highly recommending the use of professional administration was them acknowledging the fact that, you know, well, we want to make sure these claimants are going to be taken care of after they settle their case, that they're not going to be having to deal with the complexities of dealing with Medicare that a lot of others are currently facing.
Agreed. The right now, if you ask the question whether or not something is Medicare covered or not, I mean, CMS does have an app, and it's called What's Covered. But how many injured parties really are going to understand whether or not something is Medicare covered, and then also be able to determine the amount to pay for that particular injury, whether it's the state fee schedule for a workers' compensation injury or up to usual and customary charges or full charges for the liability cases. Johnny is absolutely right that CMS recognizes this as well. They indicated their recommendations and support for professional administrations in writing as early as 2017, and then in 2019 they've indicated even stronger acceptance when they've recognized the scourge, essentially, of the opioid epidemic. And they are expecting that professional administrators will be utilized whenever those particular medications, so specifically opioids, and oftentimes there's a very high opioids and other drugs that are considered frequently abused drugs. And when opioids are mixed with things such as benzodiazepines, which are anti-anxiety medications, the individuals unfortunately have a much higher risk of actually becoming addicted and developing this need for those. So I think that they are starting to recognize, and we feel that although they may not ever mandate that people must use professional administration, it is high time that parties, including the attorneys representing the injured parties, strongly consider that for their clients more often.
I heard, and I'm hoping that the two of you are engaged in what I heard, was that there's some professional administration companies make available, in effect, a debit card, and it allows you to present the injured party, the claimant, with the card, and it can be used to pay for medical expenses, you know, drugs, prescription drugs, and there's never any cash. You don't have to worry about it. The records are being kept. Secondly, I've been told that your companies are capable of producing lower drug prices, and not with magic, but just with the value of the opportunity to go and purchase, if you will, in the market for a wide degree of people, thus reducing the cost. Are both of those stories correct? Do both of you do engage in those services?
So I'll start off by taking number one, Nat, and then you can go in with number two, okay?
Sure.
The competitor's playing nicely. So, you know, in terms of providing similar to a health insurance card, that is correct. You know, that is what we will issue the injured party once they settle their claim. We begin the onboarding process, get them on, you know, on board with what we're doing, and then we'll issue that card. and then that will just be used whenever they're going in for any sort of provider treatment or to the pharmacy. And, you know, once they provide that for the provider or their pharmacy, we'll get billed directly. And then our member services team will then review these bills, apply our discounts, whatever will, you know, be applied to any of the prescriptions, durable medical equipment, home health care, whatever it might be. And then after we apply our discounts and review everything nice and thorough, we'll then be the ones submitting the reporting to Medicare on an annual basis.
So likewise, we offer a card for the individuals that will receive a Medivest card. We also have access to what we consider PBM, Pharmacy Benefit Managers, network pricing for prescription drug medication, as well as national networks for durable medical equipment. And so those are the types of things. And then with respect to, I will speak specifically to medical treatment. So medical services and medical treatment, the entire MSA process, right, is a voluntary process. And the guidelines that are put forth by CMS are stated oftentimes in a way that sounds mandatory. But the reality is that medical providers are used to and understand that when an individual is Medicare eligible and they're enrolled in Medicare or about to be, that if they were on Medicare at the time, the provider would be accepting a much lower amount of money on average, regardless of whether it's a workers' compensation case or a liability case. So while we both have bill paying software and the diagnosis review, I think that professional administrators, in our experience with average tenure of over 8 years experience for the claims administrators, they are very adept at discussing and negotiating those dollars for the medical services and treatment, and oftentimes can obtain significant savings directly through that individual discussion and negotiation with providers, making sure that they're happy along the way.
That's great. The two of you, your companies, have gotten very actively and very effectively engaged with the entire structured settlements industry to weigh in on Capitol Hill against a legislative initiative introduced, the HR 4161, one of the numbers, but the initiative was essentially designed to create a direct payment option. And it seems that the objective of the legislation is to prevent injured people from dissipating their money or spending it foolishly and not legally under Medicaid rules, Medicare rules. We came up with an alternative solution to that, or I should say, you helped us come up with an alternative. And it's what's being utilized today. Place these settlements as part of a structured settlement and professionally administer them. The two of you, your companies, were fantastic at helping the industry formulate those positions. Are you both comfortable dealing with Capitol Hill and Congress? And do you think we're doing enough as an industry to stand up to promote the benefits, the opportunities for structured settlements and professional administration in the context of working with Medicare?
I think that we need to be more active as an organization, an association, with being in the direct line of sight of our members of Congress. They are the ones that either would or would not change the actual federal statute, right? So CMS is responsible for promulgating regulations and or guidance with respect to the MSP, but it is our legislatures that will be actually enacting the changes in the law. As it has come up and been rejected for many years, this particular direct payment option, although it may allow for structured annuities and payments over time, we feel that there are many, you know, problems associated with it, specifically that they have never come up with language that would be acceptable with respect to what would happen with money that is left over in a Medicare set-aside account for an injured worker when the individual dies earlier than expected. Right.
But what would happen to those resources under that legislation? What do you project would happen to those resources should the injured person die early?
Well, with the legislation as it is currently listed, it would go to the government because it's paid up front.
And not to the family.
Right. Or unless there's some sort of to the estate or designated beneficiary, as would be listed typically in a professional administration agreement.
So a workers' compensation agreement, a worker's injured, not going to earn any money. It pays into Medicare. The person dies. His family is going to need those resources. Nobody would ever put that together knowingly. So we need to make sure Congress understands the implications of its actions. And you two and your companies have been fabulous in helping us with that. In April, we're going to host the Take the Hill event in Washington, D.C. I've watched both of you on Capitol Hill. You're excellent lobbyists for a day. So I hope you're both planning to come back.
Absolutely.
Johnny, do you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I'm definitely looking forward to taking a more active role in taking the Hill. And again, I feel like our services in the professional administration arena brings a lot of benefits to the structured settlement industry, and it really safeguards all parties involved within the settlement. So, again, if we're saying and claiming that we have the injured party's best interest, then I feel like if we truly did, there would be a higher percentage of cases being professionally administered, because then we're wanting to ensure that these injured workers are maximizing the savings and not running into the potential risk of exhausting their settlement funds prematurely.
Let me ask you a question to close out this interview. And if you could, just a couple minutes each, if you were to meet with an organization or a group of newer, younger professionals in the structured settlements industry, claim side, consultant side, and maybe they don't know an awful lot about Ametros or Medivest, and they haven't heard a lot about professional administration, what would you want to tell them to make certain they do begin to understand and appreciate the valuable and important services that your two companies provide? Nat, why don't you go first?
Sure. So Medivest was started in 1996, and we were actually the very first company to ever administer an MSA agreement. That was in 1998. What I feel is that for structured settlement professionals specifically, that there's a great opportunity to actually do more structured deals or consummate more transactions by having Medicare set-asides structured in addition to their general settlements that they are working for people. We like to break this down in terms of all the benefits that are used. So specifically, a professional administrator not only looks at the bills that are being presented, but they also look at the correspondence that is received. And what we're starting to notice is that CMS is becoming more active with their remedies under the MSP and sending out conditional payment letters, sometimes post-settlement, and being able to analyze those for whether or not the dates of service were prior to settlement, in which case we're looking at liens that may have not been addressed, right? And or looking at newly established claims. So, for example, in the workers' compensation arena, where the employer is typically responsible for the injured party's medical bills up until the time of settlement, we are noticing that not only is the CRC, the Commercial Repayment Center, involved, but at the time of that compromise and release, sometimes the BCRC is now opening up files against the Medicare beneficiaries who really should have no liability with respect to the pre-settlement medicals. We take an active role by making phone calls to the parties, both CMS as well as representatives for both the CRC as well as the BCRC, and actively get involved in discussing, disputing, and negotiating matters, and trying to help essentially fix their systems or make them work smoothly to the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, no, that's a great reply, Nat. And, I think just to add on top of that, too, is just, what I'd like to get out there is, You know, a while back, we had put together a white paper at Ametros, you know, regarding the benefits of combining both professional administration with structured settlements. And, you know, the combination of both of those is oftentimes the best way to protect an injured party settlement dollars. And it really just allows the injured worker more access and more coverage from Medicare as they're paying less money out of pocket. So we're giving them that extra layer of valuable protection, you know, should they have a costly year. So professional administration is always going to ensure that they're paying less in the long run and not running into any sort of, again, issues of prematurely exhausting their funds or having any sort of reporting concerns that, you know, they might be having some issues with. And again, it's really just a natural fit, and it should be considered a best practice anytime that there is a structure on an MSA. I wouldn't even give any sort of threshold for a dollar amount. I think it's just a natural fit at all times because they are going to not be having to be faced with paying retail prices, which, again, we continue to see rise year after year. So that's why we're really just safeguarding all the parties involved to make sure that, you know, again, the attorneys are going to have their clients be taken care of. So they're not going to be left on their own once they settle their case. And, you know, we're creating a lot more case opportunities by achieving more settlements based on the benefits of both of our services. So, you know, you might have some fears, hesitations, concerns from these injured parties where they're not wanting to settle their case because they're not aware of a service like ours that's out there that, you know, what the benefits are that could, you know, help take care of what they're fearful of. So, for instance, you have someone that, you know, they don't feel that the settlement amount is sufficient enough that's being offered, so they don't want to settle their case. Well, we can then run some numbers to then show them what the savings would be on our platform to give them an idea. Say you have treatment that's projected out $100,000. You run some numbers, we're able to get that for $50,000. So then they're going to see that $50,000 that they're going to have to put towards additional treatment and just kind of have a little nest egg, you know, at the end of things. So again, I really do think if there is an MSA, if there is a structure involved, that really just making sure that you're safeguarding everything and adding on that extra layer of protection, which would be professional administration, it's going to lead to a lot less confusion and a lot more happier parties involved at the end.
Well, Johnny Meyer with Ametros and Nate Reifler with MediVest, I want to thank you both very much for participating in this special edition of Settle Smart, the NASTA podcast. You're both great professionals to work with, and I really appreciate your participating in this podcast.
Eric, thank you very much. I would like to point that for a structured settlement professional, extending the life of the funds is an absolute necessity, and also to understand that at the time, all the settlement planning that goes in prior to the date of that settlement is so crucial to look at the person's individual financial future that in a similar way, the Medicare set-aside funds are essentially looking at just those medicals moving forward that are Medicare covered, but life throws at all of us unexpected turns, not only the incident itself, but complications. So when we have a structured MSA, we have the beauty of not only protecting the individual's Medicare entitlement, but if there are large ticket items, hospitalizations that were unexpected, if a structure is depleted during one particular year, the professional administrator will communicate that to CMS. The individual will be covered by Medicare in the interim. And then the next year, they're receiving money again. And this is intended to take care of their future Medicare-covered matters through the life expectancy.
It's a great way to end this podcast. Thank you both for participating with Settle Smart. Thank you again.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Settle Smart, a podcast from the National Structured Settlements Trade Association. We invite you to visit our website at nssta.com to find out more about our members and our mission to help you settle smart.